Welcome to episode 410. I'm with Tom Hamm for the third time, talking to him from his Florida home. Tom is taking advantage of the technologies available to run his business remotely. Now, don't let the business model fool you. Tom may be running his business remotely, but he still has the discipline to create to-do lists and create regular schedules to stay on task. Now, here's a taste.
There's no reason why somebody who's maybe they're tied to the shop 5-6 days a week, well, there's no reason they can't just do it for one afternoon a week and play with it and see if it works. That's a great place to start and then kind of fine tune it from there.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey there, Carm Capriotto here, and in a few moments, Tom Hamm and I had a very interesting discussion about running your business remotely. He's the owner of AutoCentric in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and along with his wife are the creators of Automotive Management Network. Hey, have you written down Apex on your calendar yet? Even in this technology-driven world, nothing beats the face-to-face meetings I've had at Apex. Hey, talk about power meetings. They're great. Now, plan to attend November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. Now, for information, visit aapexshow.com. Now, let's get inside how Tom Hamm, shop owner, industry writer, and creator of Automotive Management Network, runs his shop from his Florida home. Tom and I delve into the mechanics, strategies, and logistics of remotely running a shop. I believe once you're done with this interview, you'll have a how-to list. In fact, on the show notes page for Tom's episode, you'll find the key talking points and some important details we didn't get a chance to cover in the interview. Go to remarkableresults.biz/E410. Tom answers some big questions like, does it take the right culture and people to make working remotely work? What kind of self-discipline do you need? And how does technology make it feel like you're there? We cover a full spectrum of how Tom makes it work. We also get into the changes in lifestyle that you must consider when working remotely. Hey, a warm welcome to Tom Hamm from AutoCentric in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and from Automotive Management Network. Morning, Tom.
Morning, Carm. How's things there?
Hey, it's great. I know one thing for sure. We had one of the coldest snaps we've had in 10 years up here, and I'm talking to you in Florida. So did you have any cold weather down there?
Yes, we did have cold snap here. We had days that the highs were only in the 60s, yes.
Darn. You're really pissing me off now. We're here to talk about the fact that you're running the business 3 weeks of a month for the winter season in Florida. Kudos, high fives to you for being able to get to that level. And we're here to talk about that, how an individual shop owner can make a move as big and bold as you have. And there's other guys that have done it. I mean, Ron Huggins in Mexico, right? So it can be done.
Yeah, it's like anything where once you do it a little bit, you go, oh, well, this isn't as weird as I thought it was going to be. I just have to fine tune it a bit.
When Ron owned the business, he was in Mexico, and he's recently sold, and he's still in Mexico, so he obviously had a fabulous plan there. So, okay, I'm working hard. I'm doing, 50 hours a week, and I hear in my groups and in my coaching circles that I need to figure out how to get away from the business a bit so I can do some real strategic thinking, and there's a lot I can do in the office in front of a computer. Why do it at work? Why can't I just do it at home? My thinking, Tom, is instead of, getting the house in Florida that you have been successful at, at the years you've been in business, but if I was a shop owner and I wanted to start, I could build myself a home office and maybe spend one day there.
Well, yeah, and just to clarify, we've got a condo that's only about a half a mile from the shop, and we have a remote office there also. If it's really too cold, I can stay home there too.
Got it. Now, I understand. Because, Tom, you have been able to create the culture in the business, the processes that are necessary, the double checks and balances that allow you not to have both sets of eyes at the shop.
Oh, yeah. The key thing is people. As with anything, that's where you always start. You got to have excellent people who are going to be responsible and take care of things. That's just number one with anything. And then after that come the systems for everybody to follow, whether it's me or them, just so we're all on the same page and it runs reasonably smoothly.
So I think of, rambling thoughts through my head, communication, relationships, great culture. Oh, my God, if I get to a place all on my very own in quote-unquote isolation, how do I manage it? How do I take breaks? What kind of technology do I use? How do I structure my day? Does the wife understand that I'm actually working? Or the significant other really understand that I'm really working? Will I be able to get more things done? Let's just start talking about all this stuff.
Okay. Well, in my case, it works good because we've got the two businesses, obviously, and my wife is an integral part of both of them. And she also has a remote office. She's about 30 feet away from me right now in her remote office. So we do understand what the other one is doing because that's what we do all day.
But if it wasn't that kind of relationship and the wife had a job and, you know, she gets home and you're still working, are there any ground rules that have to be set?
Well, you do have to get, you know, the self-discipline becomes a thing. If you're, I guess if you're the kind of person that's, you know, easily distracted, like, you know, like Dory, where you just, anything just pulls you off in different directions and you can't keep concentrating or focusing on what you're doing unless you're physically at the shop, then it could be a problem because you do have to have the self-discipline to, I think it's important to create a to-do list and a regular schedule throughout the day with certain times that you follow so you have some self-discipline. Even though you're by yourself, you still are responsible in that sense.
So you're saying that don't take advantage of the fact that you're not there in the thick of it. If you're not disciplined and you constantly chase sparkly things, it may not be the right thing for you because you'll never really get anything done.
But I think that's something that anybody could overcome. It's just going to be a little bit more difficult. That's why some of the things I think it's, and again, dependent on personalities, I think it's critical to have a dedicated room that's the office that's closed off to everything else. It doesn't have other things in it. Its sole purpose is the remote office. That helps a lot because you set your own boundaries that way.
Okay, so instead of saying, well, we'll take the spare room. The spare room is used for sewing room. It's maybe used for bunk beds for, you know, the kids when they visit or whatever, the grandkids when they visit. The fact of the matter is that doesn't become a disciplined way from work office.
It really should be, you know, very similar to the office you hopefully have at the shop where it's a dedicated room and nothing other than the office in there.
Tom, how do I know I can do this? I know that's a big question.
I don't think there's anybody that can't do it. You know, it's 90% mental just trying it. And you start experimenting with it and find out what works with you and follow some certain rules and build it slowly one piece at a time. It's doable for anybody. And there's no reason why somebody who's maybe they're tied to the shop 5-6 days a week, well, there's no reason they can't just do it for one afternoon a week and play with it and see if it works. That's a great place to start and then kind of fine tune it from there.
If I was a micromanager, would this be really hard to do?
Yes.
So it may start with becoming a better leader, you know, delegate more, build the strong culture in the business, watch it work in some temporary, you know, long weekends that you want to take, not committing to the office. But you've got to make sure that that business can run even one day without you.
And we've talked about this in some of the other things we've discussed. It often comes back. You need to be focused on the results instead of the methodology. How somebody specifically does a break job with their own preferences, technically how to do it. You know, if it goes out right and it lasts and it doesn't squeak and nobody complains, we make money on it, you probably ought to just not mess with it and they could do it any way they want, within reason. And the same goes for anything management-wise. As long as we're accomplishing the goal and we're doing everything above board and legally, so on and so forth, and the customers are happy, and everybody's reasonably happy with their compensation and their job and so on. We shouldn't get too bogged down in the details of that, especially if you hire the smarter people that can figure this stuff out on their own. You kind of give them some general guidelines, help them when they want, and then let them figure out what works best for them.
Will the team look at this as a perk for you that is just off the charts? And they're just, well, I can't believe I'm making all this money for Tom, and he's got a place in Florida. Man.
I think that the number one feeling or emotion with most employees will be, he's out of our hair. He's not here. So we can relax just a little bit. We know he's with us in digitally and cameras and everything else, but he's not here. So it makes us a little bit more comfortable. I think that's probably the number one response. You know, as far as the, people have various goals and dreams, and some of them would want a house in Florida and some would care less. But, I've been around a little while, so they don't mind me having a little bit of fun.
We talked processes here just for a microsecond, and you had dropped a few things. You just said the word camera. But let's go back to this is the plain old processes and procedures inside the shop. You've got a manual. I mean, this, you couldn't have never done this had your shop not be running like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, I've had 40-some years to practice, so we're slowly getting there.
you may make it someday. I see.
Yeah, you never stop learning, and as soon as you stop learning, that's not any fun anymore. So we can always refine it and make it better. But we build up systems over a period of time and things that everybody can work with, and you need that. And, that's kind of another topic we can get into, but sure, absolutely.
Got it. So processes, systems are critical. You've got to be able to check that off your list. You had mentioned something about cameras, the whole security of the business. Is this really a big brother thing, or is it, hey, I own the business, I need to secure it, I want to see what's going on?
Most of us, if we think about it, we realize and we pay attention, you spend your whole day on camera. Unless you're in your own house, and even then, you probably got cameras where somebody's watching you or you're watching yourself. Just everything's on camera nowadays. It's great for security. It gives a feeling if you've got good cameras and you can see most, if not all, the areas of the shop, just to see what's going on. And certainly the idea is not to sit there all day and watch the camera. As a matter of fact, I think the monitor with the cameras should kind of be off to the side, something you've got to intentionally look at instead of it's even in your field of vision, mainly so you get a feel of what's going on. It has other purposes too. For instance, our service advisor has multiple monitors with cameras on them up in the air that he can see. He can see which bay is occupied. He can see when the parts drivers pull up. So he has a whole bunch of use for them too. And they're just a piece of technology that's useful for everybody and just happens to be how I tie into the shop.
Okay, so you're really basically using it for a couple of things. A little bit of workflow, security, you're probably recording this. And you, in the Southern Command, if you will, are monitoring that, all that feed?
Monitoring is even kind of a strong word. It's just, more than anything else, it's probably a feeling.
It's up on that screen off to the side that you can look at any time, but what your service advisor is seeing, you're seeing.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, they have all the same. They've got the same identical monitors in the shop that I have here, so they see the same camera there as I do here. Yep.
Have you been able to take advantage of the fact that you can see what's going on in the shop, or is it just peace of mind for you?
For me, it's more peace of mind. I don't know that I nitpick or look for specific things. I might say once in a while, what's that doing there? But I really, again, try to avoid that. I think if you start doing that, you may start to bug them a little bit, and then they're worried about where they put things and what's he watching and so on and so forth. So I really just to stay in touch psychologically is the biggest factor.
Hey, Carm here. You know the number one reason shop owners attend Apex? Is to see the very latest new products and technologies. And in my opinion, a close second is the opportunity to meet face-to-face with your peers to discuss issues and find new opportunities. And let's not forget how much fun it is to get together with friends in the industry, both old and new. You know, Apex is the one place to see all the people, products, services, and technology that affect your business and your profits. Plus, you'll get to participate in the best industry training while you're there. You know, in terms of value, you'll take so much more home with you than the cost of your trip to Apex. Now, mark your calendar now to attend Apex 2019. It's November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit aapexshow.com. Hope to see you there. The thought came to my mind, you're 1,500 miles, south of Grand Rapids in Florida, And I'm a shop owner, been working my butt off 10 years. Really, things are going great. And, you know, I've got the family cabin up in the woods, you know, about 60 miles away. We all go there to have fun and to swim and to boat. And would I, hey, this could be a stepping stone for me to figure out how to work remotely. Yet, when I go to a place that has the connotation of fun and play, I may be, if I don't have the right disciplines, like you said earlier, taking myself away from the business, not continue to be engaged with it.
Sure. You know, somebody who's reasonably successful in this business probably has a certain amount of self-discipline where they could do that just as well. I mean, we have all the fun and things here too, but you know, but it doesn't override what's going on.
Okay, so tell me, you're there full-time 3 weeks of the month, give or take. How many hours do you put in working on the business while you're there? A week?
Personally, I don't put in any less hours now than I did when I went to the shop. The hours are pretty much the same. They're just easier chopped up because it's easier to just go for a bike ride in the middle of the day or swimming or whatever in the middle of the day, break it up a little bit. But see, then I'll work some hours remotely that or at least in this office here that I did not work before when I was at the shop. I'll work, you know, maybe something in the evening, Saturday, weekends, that kind of thing.
Well, you're not in the shop. You're not, you're not spending time with the team. So what are the tasks that are top of mind on a weekly basis that you're working on?
It's the general management type stuff where you're looking at numbers and you're looking at marketing and reviewing the ROs. And it's the same thing that you do at the shop. Matter of fact, it's amazing how much of it is exactly the same as what you do at the shop. The only thing you can't do is that you can't physically go pick up some tires or give somebody a ride home. But especially as you get used to it, then the service advisor will go, I've got several estimates to do here. Can you do these two? I've got to find a used engine for this car. Can you go shop for it and locate one? Maybe even can you call this customer and explain what's going on with this and that? And it's no different than me being in the next room.
Okay, so they're asking you to lend a hand.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, just as if I were there.
Let's talk about the technology that makes all that happen. I get the camera piece. I understand email. But are you using any special apps to have instant communication with your team?
Slack, which a lot of people are, more and more people are using Slack nowadays. There's just so many different things you can do with Slack. And recently we've started using the Slack video calls. There's just so much you can do there. That's a great thing for any business, whether you're remote office or not. Great tool. That's the main thing that we use. Other than that, there's the remote camera app. We use some software that happens to be cloud-based, which makes it a little bit easier, so I don't need a remote connection going to the computers at the shop.
So your SMS is available on the cloud, so you're on that real easy, real quick.
Oh, yeah, you can pop it up on your phone in like 5 seconds. Anywhere you want. One thing that we came to realize, maybe a little too slowly, but we did realize it's important whether you're remote office or not, but I think it makes it even more important to have a easy to learn, easy to use, easy to understand, easier to work with shop management system. Because some of them are just so overly complicated. I think the staff spends too much time trying to serve the system, if you will. We had, with the one we have now, and I'm not going to get into names in it, but just the, for example, we've got somebody who helps us once in a while, and he came in and as a tech, and we needed to show him how it worked. And about 15 minutes later, he had it all set. He was all the learning he needed to do on the SMS system for being a tech, and he was good to go. So that's the kind of system that's getting more popular, and I think we're going to see more and more of.
A comment about Slack, I use it for my team, and it is a heck of a tool. It is a great tool. Happy to hear that you're using it. When it comes to docs, documents, spreadsheets, and stuff, are you using Google Docs, something up on the cloud?
I'm using OneDrive. More comfortable with that. It's probably, you know, whether you like Ford or Chevy type thing. I just happen to like that one.
You know, and Tom mentioned software. In Automotive Management Network, he does an awful lot of surveying, and he keeps a huge spreadsheet on SMS systems that are out there, and you've almost become the quintessential go-to guy about SMSs. I know you're very, very passionate about it, and I know that whatever you're using, I'm sure it's serving you well. Thank you so much for where you've taken us. Is there anything? Look at your desk right now. Look at your office. Look around. And how you set it up, Tom, or something that's there that has been, oh, my God, I'm so glad I did this.
The hardware, the computer hardware, and this is wherever you're using it, just happens to be even more remote, solid-state drive. If your computers don't have SSD, solid-state drive, you should either update them or replace them, because the speed is staggering. Some things will be 5 times faster. Some things will be 100 times faster. So that's real critical. It makes it less frustrating to work remotely. And also, you know, you got to spend some money on the good internet so you've got really good speed. You can't be, you know, at home, you can't be too cheap with the internet, or you won't enjoy the remote part. So that's a big part of it. One aspect of working at home, make sure we cover, I don't know whether you want me to throw that in right now, but I will anyways, is you can't sit here in the chair all day. You're not leaving the house. You're not commuting physically. So you need to get out and you need to walk, or you need to swim, or you need to bike, or something, or you need to go out to dinner, et cetera. So you're not holed up in the house all the time. I think it makes a big difference psychologically and so on.
Don't be sedentary. If just because you're at home and you decide to get comfortable in that chair for 8 hours, it's not good.
Yeah, you got to not overload the grocery cart with junk food so you're wandering to the kitchen to load up on chips all the time.
You're talking my language. You know that, of course, I build and produce the entire podcast from my home office. And thank God there's a Keurig in the kitchen. I mean, maybe that's my walking. But I have 7 acres, so me and Ann will go out and we'll walk. So, of course, not when it's minus 20 wind chill. But I can see, you know, how nice it is for you in Florida. You had also told me, if you don't have to Wi-Fi, don't hardwire everything. I mean, because I really think, isn't your message is have NORAD, have as much speed and connectivity as you can.
You know, a lot of the frustrations that people run into with computer stuff nowadays, they don't realize that if they had a good up-to-date computer, and if they followed some of the suggestions or recommendations, 90% of their problems would go away, because a lot of it just has to do with old hardware and so on. You know, wireless is nice, and a lot of people do it, but if everything's hardwired, it just plain works cleaner and better. So we hardwire everything right down to the mouse and the keyboard and everything else. It just plain works better.
I'm curious about the connectivity that you have with your people. And I heard what you said just a few minutes ago. They may call and say, hey, go find an engine, or go search something for me. We need some help, Tom. And you're there. You're not physically there, but you're there for them. How often do you pull a video conference together with your leadership or the entire team? You're gone for those 3 weeks. Do you want them to see your face on purpose maybe once a week?
The management, three times a day. But those are very... those might be a 2-minute video call. It's very brief. It's just covering some high points, and it's just so you touch bases and see each other. You don't see the rest of the staff very often, but we do chat with them, you know, regularly. And a lot of it's to make the point that we are connected. I'm paying attention to what's going on. I'm concerned with you, et cetera, et cetera. So they don't feel like I've left them.
So in other words, you may pick up a phone and just talk to one of your technicians at the end of the day and say, hey, great job. I see you just were hammering stuff, and thanks for all you do.
Actually, we do pretty much nothing by phone. It's pretty much 99% Slack.
Okay.
And it's either a lot of it's by chat. The stuff that goes on throughout the day is on chat. And then the occasional meetings are in the Slack video call.
So you're staying in touch. You're in the Southern Command. You're in the remote office. How long ago did you start this?
We started playing with it really many, many years ago, playing with it from home. And this goes back probably 15 years, just playing with a general concept. And then as far as actually getting into it more heavily, we started about 2-3 years ago when we bought our first place down here, because you're down here all day anyway. So let's see if we can get this thing going, and just got better and better at it. We kept advancing and fine tuning it and finding out the things that would make it more efficient and work the best where I could get the most done. And I'm pretty much there now.
That's a great point. I love it. You started and then you continued to improve it and continued and looked for more synergies and more apps and more speed and more comfort and more ergonomics and better discipline. So I guess we can take an awful lot of ideas from you. You know, what I want to do is you sent a lot of great ideas to me to talk about. Can I put them all in the show notes?
Oh, absolutely.
Great. Because I think if somebody, you know, again, was thinking of maybe how to equip the office, you gave us a lot of great ideas.
I did put that together as kind of a handy little checklist. And you pick and choose what you like off there. But I think if you take most of that, you're going to save yourself a lot of fine tuning yourself, because I went through the fine tuning for you, and you're just going to find that, oh, I didn't think of that. And it'll just make setting it up way, way easier.
One of the things that you wrote here, Tom, that I really need to ask you about is you said no laptop, but you need to have a desktop computer. Well, why is that?
Yeah, I mean, a laptop, it's far different working at a laptop as far as especially as far as you just talk about stuff like carpal tunnel, so on and so forth, and whether you have the wrist pad and how you have your keyboard angled and all the different things you can do with a desktop. Whereas I guess you could get a separate keyboard and so on to the laptop. But a laptop is kind of the thing, you know, you take it out on the road to the hotel and then et cetera, and you work with it from there. But if you're going to have a dedicated office and you're going to have the feel of you're actually at the shop, then duplicate it exactly like it is at the shop in as much detail as you can. The comfort of working with a desktop is much better.
Yeah, I use a laptop with a keyboard, with, you know, the big mouse, with, you know, I have three monitors. And so when I would travel and when I do go out to events and I do go and I take the studio out, I'm able to take that out with me. I was able to duplicate the desktop experience, and so I don't have to have multiple computers and worry about making sure they're all linked together. So I see you closing the doors, Tom. Why is that?
There's a little bit of background noise, and it can be anything from maybe my wife's on a phone call. The neighbor has four dogs, and if they see a leaf move, they all start barking. Boat goes by. It can be just about anything, doorbell, UPS guy, and just that way you can shut it off. It is important that you can shut this off if you need to be uninterrupted.
You really want to be zoned in. There's probably less interruptions than you, obviously less interruptions than if you were in the shop.
Well, it's amazing at the shop. Anybody at the shop knows that. I mean, you can say, well, today I'm going to lock myself in the office and I'm going to get this done. And that works for about 10 minutes. Somebody knocks the door and it just, you know, away the day goes.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, Tom Hamm, AutoCentric Grand Rapids and from Automotive Management Network, for sharing the big move that you have and the success that you have running a great company remotely.
We appreciate you having me, and it's always fun to converse with you. You're an expert.
Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.